into the Old Testament to the first book of Samuel. The ninth chapter of the first book of Samuel. And verse 1. And there was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Beochorus, and the son of Abiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Verse 1 of chapter 10. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" Now down please to chapter 10 and verse 24. And Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king." Verse 26. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him, and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. The Lord will bless these sections of his precious word into our hearts. It's verse 27 we would use as our key scripture this evening. "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him, and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. He was Israel's first king, King Saul. And as the scripture says, the Lord chose him and there was none like him. But he was an element, the sons of Belial, and they said, "How can this man save us?" In other words, they doubted his ability to save. Not only did they doubt his ability, but they despised his appointment. He was God's chosen king, and they deprived him of his assets. They would not bring gifts unto him, but he held his peace. God specially selected this man. He was mighty in power, and he was a goodly young man. He was tall, dark, and handsome. But yet, there were those who would not have him. And all they could see in Saul, the son of Kish, was that he was the son of a farmer who couldn't even look after his father's asses or donkeys. And so they said, "How can this man save us?" They doubted his ability to save the nation. And we saw as we read that he was God's appointed king. And so again, they despised the divine appointment that he was to be God's first king over Israel. And as the king, they owed him assets, revenue, but they deprived him of his assets. I want to take that picture this evening and apply it to a different king. King Jesus. And men today are saying, in essence, "How can this man save us?" And they doubt the ability of Jesus Christ to save. And they despise his appointment because he was God's chosen king. And what he deserves, they deliberately deprive him of his assets. Now it's said of King Saul that he was chosen by God. My friend, God has appointed a king, and his name is Jesus. "I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And there is none like him." How precious the night is saying of the supremacy, the preeminence of the Lord Jesus. There's none like him. No wonder the disciples said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There's none like him. That's why God said through Isaiah the prophet, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. There's none like him. But my friend, I wonder tonight, are you with the group, these sons of Belial, or are you numbered with the sons, the men of Gibeah? The men of Gibeah were men whose hearts God had touched. But in contradistinction to this, the sons of Belial said, How can this man save us? And today we look abroad and we see cults and religious systems, and in essence they are following other leaders, and they're saying of Jesus Christ, how can this man save us? They doubt his ability. In the United States, we had a follower, a gentleman who was followed by a multitude of people. He had 98 Rolls Royces, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, in Oregon. Men and women bowing down before him, looking upon him as a God. And they would not have Jesus Christ. How can this man save us? And they followed that Indian guru and many others in a similar frame. They followed this leader and that leader. And in essence, they're saying, how can this man save us? In the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel, there are 42 names mentioned in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus, and divided into 14 groups. And in the first 14 group generation, there was an outstanding personality, and his name was Abraham. Abraham was a man that brought the nation out of idolatry. He got a vision of the God of glory in out of the Chaldees. Called the father of the faithful. But Abraham could not save his people from their sins. In the second 14 generation group, the outstanding personality was David. The man that brought the nation from being the heel to becoming the crown of the nations. The man after God's own heart. But David could not save his people from their sins. And in the third 14 generation group, the outstanding personality was a man called Zerubbabel. He, with Nehemiah and Ezra, came from Babylonian captivity. Zerubbabel built the temple, Nehemiah built the wall, and Ezra beautified the temple. Zerubbabel, an outstanding personality, but he could not save his people from their sins. And so the time the message is delivered on number 42 in the genealogy, thou shalt call his name Yeshua, Jesus, but he shall save his people from the sin. I readily endorse this evening that Jesus alone can save. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And the Lord Jesus has the ability to save tonight your precious soul. Peter and James, John rather, are going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Here's a man begging by the gate, beautiful, so ludicrous. Made of Corinthian bronze, the most expensive mineral of its day. And there he's begging. Peter and John pass by and he's seeking alms. Peter says, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. No wonder the man walked. But there are myriads tonight, multitudes, and they are despising the ability of Christ to save. And that is a tragedy indeed. Not only do they despise or doubt his ability, but they despised his appointment. He was specially selected by God to become the Savior of the world. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And my dear friend, this evening, you owe everything to Jesus Christ. Paul stood there on Mars Hill, that city moved by the declamations of such men as Aristotle, Epicurus, Socrates, Plato. And there in that seat of learning, he preached Jesus and the resurrection. And he said to the Athenians, it's in him we live and move and have our being. You owe your existence, that very breath you just breathe, you owe that to Christ. And yet there are those today, and they deprive him of his assets. He says, Son, you give me your heart. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. How can this man save us? Well, there are a few reasons tonight that we might endorse. How can this man save us? My friend, tonight he can save you graciously. That's how he can save you, graciously. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now the law demanded that which you could not give. The law says this, do, and thou shalt live. But grace bestows that which we do not rightly deserve. So Paul says, by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Tonight, Jesus can save you graciously. As I mentioned this morning, you can't work for salvation, and you can't pay for salvation. It's all of sovereign grace. He can save you tonight, graciously. How can this man save us? Not only graciously, but he can save you immediately, right now. I was over in Bicester in Oxfordshire, England, having meetings, and I was invited to go to the local prison, and so I was traveling along with the secretary of the prison, expecting a large audience in the prison. When I got to the chapel, there was two men in the audience. That's enough to deflate the ego of any preacher. Two men. Well, I said, boys, I'm not going to preach to you tonight. I'm just going to talk to you about my friend. And we spoke about the Lord Jesus. A wonderful hour with these two prisoners. And as I was leaving, I said, gentlemen, could I ask you one final question? If you should drop down dead right now, where would your soul be? Well, one fellow got all tongue-tied. Well, he said, I've done a few things wrong. Well, it was evident he was in prison. The other man said, I would go to hell. And he began to break down and he wept. They were released each night in the custody of the secretary and came along to Hebron Hall where I was preaching. And to my great delight, they came in one evening again, and before I could almost give the greeting, one man said to me, the man who said he would go to hell, he said, Mr. Dougal, I want to get saved tonight. That's good news. Well, I said, we'll discuss these things after the meeting is over. He said, right now. Right now. He wasn't going to take the risk of being exposed one more hour to the wrath of God. And that man had been in 52 different prisons. And Ted Pollard got down on his knees that night and he confessed his sin to Christ as we knelt on the cold concrete there in England. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. How can this man save us right now? You don't have to wait until the meeting is over. Now is the accepted time, 7:45. Now is the accepted time. Now is God's day of salvation. God promises to save you tonight, but he does not promise to save you tomorrow. Because we cannot boast about tomorrow. We know not what a day may bring forth. He can save you graciously. He can save you immediately. You remember that small man, small of stature in the Bible called Zacchaeus? No doubt it was a curiosity that was aroused, and he went ahead of the crowd, and here he was, the chief customs officer. And what a spectacle to see the chief customs officer climbing up into a tree. But that curiosity developed, and it led to the conviction of his soul. And of course, the seeking sinner will always find the seeking Savior. And so the omniscient Christ is passing by. He looked up into the foliage and he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, I must abide at thy house. For as much as this day, salvation has come to thy house. Immediately. In the month of September, I was in Donora, Pennsylvania. Two young ladies in the assembly there had been working on a young girl who was paralyzed from the shoulders down, broke her neck in a diving accident in Lake Ontario. She was coming to the hospital in Pittsburgh for therapy. Little movement in her hands, but paralyzed from the waist down, no movement whatever. These two young ladies, both with a master's degree of education, worked with this young lady in her affliction, began to witness to her about the Lord Jesus, the lover of soul. Her interest developed, inasmuch that she wanted to know more about God's salvation. And so they said to her, would you mind if we brought the preacher who's visiting us along? She said, absolutely. And so I bucked that traffic into Pittsburgh, to the hospital. And to my disappointment, she wasn't there. The old devil is always busy. And the elevator was not working that day. And so they called her, don't come in for therapy today. I couldn't go to her home because her mother was very much opposed to the gospel because of this accident. She blamed God for the accident. And she was really distressed. So I called her and I said, Carla, I'll come in tomorrow. And so I went in the next day into Pittsburgh from Donora. That young girl sat in a wheelchair for 2 hours outside the Chichi restaurant in a mall in Pittsburgh. For the preacher to come. When I saw her in that wheelchair, a flood of emotion came over my soul. And oh, the Lord was gracious that day. And Carla Roberto accepted the Lord Jesus in a mall in Pittsburgh. How can he save? He can save immediately. Right now. If you are willing to accept him. He will not turn you down. Him or her that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. How can this man save us graciously immediately? But he can save you also entirely. He saves for eternity. Body, soul, and spirit is assured of God's salvation. Right now, he can save your precious soul. And in a coming day, we shall be transported to glory and conformed body, soul, and spirit like unto our Lord Jesus Christ. He can save you entirely. Every sin that you ever committed can be forgiven by God, because He has the power to save and to forgive. There's wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. The nation of Israel, on a special day called the Day of Atonement, the priest took one goat and he slaughtered the goat, and the blood was shed, sprinkled 7 times before and 7 times on the mercy seat. And then another little goat was taken, and all the sins and all the transgressions and all the iniquities were placed on that little goat. And it was led by the hand of a clean man into the land of desolation and left there with all the sins of the nation on that little goat. Our beloved Lord Jesus Christ is the anti-type of that goat. And all our transgressions and all our sins and all our iniquities were placed upon Him at the place called Calvary. All my sins were laid upon Him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on Him, and believing, I am free. And when that little goat was left in the land of desolation, the clean man returned to the camp. And as Israel saw that man coming through amid the tents, they could say, there goes my sins for a year. But when our beloved Savior died upon the cross in the land of desolation, the Holy Spirit, the clean man, the Holy Spirit came back to the camp at Pentecost. And tonight we can say, there goes my sins forever. Happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered, and to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. He can save you, my friend, entirely. As John writes in his epistle, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We were having meetings in Moncton, New Brunswick, in Canada some time ago. There was a lady who was a commentator on the CBC television. And she sat in the audience after the meeting was over, and she wailed, oh my sins, oh my sins, oh my sins. We were happy to point her to the man who can forgive all sins entirely. And so the record is wiped clean. But if you reject God's Son tonight, every sin, every transgression, all your iniquities are left on fire under the great white throne of judgment. God will judge you according to those things which are written in the books. He's keeping a meticulous record. But oh, how delightful to know the possibility tonight of having all our sins forgiven. Graciously, immediately, entirely, but He has the ability to save us continually. Saved from the penalty of our sins. And to be saved right now from the power of our sins. And one day soon, we'll be saved from His very presence. And what a moment that will be when we stand by our Savior's side and see Satan, the arch enemy of men's souls, being cast into the bottomless pit. We'll rejoice with our beloved Lord to see the end of Him who has caused so much problems from Adam's day right down. We'll rejoice in the victory of our great Lord continually. Finally, how can this man save us? not only graciously and immediately, entirely, continually, but he can save you eternally. Nothing, says Paul, nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He said, I am persuaded that neither life, death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or thing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. There he is occupied in that section with various things, state and power, time, space, and matter. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So how gratifying that while we sometimes fail him, he will never fail us. And the moment we put our trust in him, we are safe and saved for all eternity. John 10:28, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one will pluck them out of my Father's hand. Double security. My friend, if you would come to Christ tonight, you can be saved and saved for eternity. You will never lose your salvation. The moment you come and confess your sin and you become the recipient of this wonderful gift, you can never, never, ever lose that salvation again. If it was possible, then there are five things would have to take place if it was possible to be lost after we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. We would have, as I mentioned, to be taken out of the Father's hand. And that is an absolute impossibility. The almighty hand of Jehovah, the one who holds the waters in the hollow of his hand, the Pacific, the Mediterranean, the Bay of Bengal in the hollow of his hand, who stretches out the heaven with a span, one movement of his hand, who comprehends the dust of the earth in a measure, all the continents he brings together and he calls it the earth. And he weighs the mountains in scale and the hills in a belt. Mount Everest, Kilimanjaro, Mount St. Helens. And he holds them in a balance. That's the hand that will hold you forever. You cannot be taken out of the hand of our great God. If it was possible to lose your salvation, then the Holy Spirit would have to vacate the territory that he occupies. For Paul said to the Ephesians, when ye trusted, when you received the Lord Jesus, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That seal would have to be broken. But the Lord said to the disciples, I send unto you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or know, but ye know him, and he will abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit will never vacate the territory that he occupies. And if it was possible to lose our salvation, we would have to be taken out of the love of God. And he loves us with an eternal love. And if it was possible to lose our salvation, our names would have to be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. An impossibility. How can this man save us? My friend, he can save you right now. And I appeal to you, if you're not saved, God knows your heart. If you're not saved, you be kind to your soul tonight and accept the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior. If you have a difficulty, if you need some explanation, please talk to us at the end of the meeting. We don't coerce. That's not our business. We just want to know that you're saved and sealed for eternity. And we can sit down around the Word of God and you can find, like Carla, Roberto, there in that mall in Fitchburn, you can find a loving Savior. I would ask you to pray for Carla. She's a master's degree of education. She has some movement in her arms. And I receive hundreds of letters at Christmas time and cards, but none was so special as this one from Carla, trying to write with her limitations. But I was able to decipher what she wrote. And she has an insatiable appetite for the Word of God. Pray that the Lord will give her more mobility in her arms, that she might be able to get a job. But Jesus alone can save your soul tonight. May it be so for His name's sake, shall we pray. Loving Father, while some men would say, how can this man save us? We thank Thee for those in our gathering who know that Jesus alone can save. We thank Thee, Father, for these men of Gibeah in the days of King Saul whose hearts were touched. We pray tonight, our Father, Thou shalt touch hearts in this gathering. We pray, Lord, that the attractiveness of the Lord Jesus, His supremacy, His willingness to save, will reach some poor soul tonight and do bring them into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. We ask, our Father, Thou shalt look upon the face of Thine anointed, and for His sake, we ask Thou shalt bless Thy word tonight. In the salvation of precious souls, we ask it in His precious name. Amen. Shall we sing in closing?